Chapter 18. Can we stop for a snack to bring back to your place along the way? Ida asked as they piled into Lexi's VW. It's been a few hours since lunch, and I'm feeling peckish.
When aren't you hungry?
Ruth snorted.
I have an extra string cheese in my purse, Helen offered. Want me to dig it out for you?
No, Ida gave her a look. I want real food. Enough, Nan said. We are not going back to my apartment anyway.
We're not? Lexi asked. That's what you told Jack.
Nan slid a glance at Lexi from the passenger seat.
That's just what I told him because I didn't want him to feel like we were taking over the investigation. For once, he seems happy to cooperate with us, and I want to keep it that way.
Yeah, we don't need him closing us out because he feels like we're finding all the clues before the cops, Ida said.
That's right. We need to make them feel like they have a good handle on the investigation and that we are depending on them.
A smile crept across Nan's lips,
even though we know it's really the other way around.
Lexi wasn't so sure about that. Jack was a darn good detective, though it did seem she and the ladies were coming up with more clues. Somehow, she had a feeling Jack was letting them feel that way. He was probably one step ahead of them, but making them feel as if they were ahead.
So where are we going then?
Dottie Smith's place, of course. We need to find out about that insurance policy Howard bought from her grandson. It's better that we ask her. I'm sure she wouldn't want to get her grandson in trouble by giving out any insurance information to the cops, but I bet she'll spill her guts to us.
I just hope Jack doesn't get angry if he thinks we went there before.
Lexi halted as a silver Toyota Camry turned the corner. Lorelei Summers was behind the wheel. She looked at them in surprise, her eyes darting from their faces to the police station they'd just left, before speeding away.
Well, that was odd. Why would she close up her store in the middle of a busy afternoon?
Why indeed?
Nan stared after Lorelei's car.
Dottie lives in Building C right across the parking lot from my place. And if you are worried, Lexi, Jack doesn't need to know. You know how slow the police are to do anything. If we hurry, we can interrogate Dottie and be out of there before Jack gets there. We need to find out exactly how much that insurance policy was for. It could be the prime motive for Mary's murder.
Lexi parked in the middle lot in between Nance's building and Building C, and they all piled out to walk along the sidewalk to Dottie's building. The large glass doors opened to a lobby just like the one in Nance's building, with comfortable sofas, a big screen television, and a few large round tables where residents could congregate. The same indoor-outdoor carpeting lined the hallways. Ruth knew the apartment number and knocked on the door. Dottie was in her late 70s and had curly white hair and a pleasant smile that widened upon seeing them in the hall.
Ladies, what a nice surprise. Dottie ushered them inside. How lovely of you to visit. I hardly ever see you anymore, Ruth.
Yes, I'm sorry about that, Dottie. Been meaning to get over to visit. Hope you've been well.
Indeed, I have.
Dottie's apartment was a different model from Nance's, larger, with a living room off to the left and a kitchen open to a dining room on the right. It was loaded with potted plants and smelled of cinnamon cookies. Lexi could practically see Ida's nose twitching at the delicious scent. Dottie raised her white brows.
Tea and cookies?
We'd love some.
Ida practically bowled the woman over on her way to the kitchen. They took seats at Dottie's breakfast bar. Lexi admired the kitchen, while Dottie busied herself gathering the tea and cookies.
It looked as though it had been recently renovated. Off-white cabinets with nice paneled details. Shiny black granite. Stainless steel appliances.
Maybe I should think about upgrading, Nans thought. We don't want you to go to any trouble, she said. We just wanted to chat about a few things.
No trouble at all. I love having visitors.
Dottie set a plate of cookies, a basket of tea bags, and a steaming kettle on the bar in front of them, and took a seat while they loaded their plates.
So, what did you want to talk about?
Oh, well, as you know, my granddaughter, Lexi, catered the book club gala.
Nan selected a tea bag from the basket, took it out of the packet, and put it in her cup.
Yes, she did a fine job.
Dottie smiled at Lexi.
Terrible thing that happened, though, with Mary.
Right.
Nan's poured steaming water into her cup.
The investigation is still ongoing, and, well, I thought it might help Lexi if we could try to figure out who would do that to Mary, you know, so it doesn't hurt Lexi's business.
This wasn't the first time Nans had used Lexi as an excuse to get information. Lexi didn't mind, though she did wish Nans would ask ahead of time. But playing on people's sympathies by pretending her business was in jeopardy usually worked, so she remained silent.
Oh, of course. I didn't realize the murder had anything to do with Lexi's catering,
Dottie said.
It doesn't.
Nans pulled the tea bag out by its cardboard tab and wrapped it around her spoon, squeezing the golden water back into the cup.
But still, Lexi is my only grandchild, and you know how we grandmothers are. I don't want there to be any blemishes on her events.
Dottie brightened.
Oh, I sure do. Why, my grandson Tommy is the light of my life. I'd do anything to help him in his new career. He's selling insurance, you know.
I heard.
Nans raised a brow at the ladies, who were busy scarfing down cookies. Well, except for Helen, she was dipping her string cheese in her tea. Lexi was impressed. Nans had segued into the subject perfectly.
But I don't think I can be much help. I was sitting at the table in the back the whole time and didn't see a thing,
Dottie said.
I think you might be able to help in another way, Nan said. Sylvia Hensel said that Tommy sold Howard a life insurance policy. We were wondering if you knew anything about it.
Oh, yes. It was one of his first sales. That Howard is such a nice man. He wanted to help Tommy out. You know that if they make so many sales, they get bumped up in commission rate.
Nans nodded.
Uh-huh. And I bet if the policy is worth a lot, they do too, right?
Oh, yes.
And was Howard's worth a lot?
Dottie frowned.
I don't think so. Just enough so Mary wouldn't be destitute.
The ladies exchanged confused glances.
What do you mean, so Mary wouldn't be destitute?
Ruth asked.
Wasn't the policy on Mary?
Oh, no. It was on Howard.
Dottie bit her lower lip.
Oh, I'm probably not supposed to be telling anyone this. Isn't it confidential or something? I don't want to get Tommy in trouble.
No, I don't think so.
Nans looked at the others.
Nope,
Ruth said.
I'm pretty sure you can tell anyone. It's not like hiring a lawyer. It's just insurance.
Ida took another cookie.
Oh, okay. Well, the policy wasn't on Mary. I'm guessing Howard probably knew what was coming.
Dottie looked down at her tea.
What do you mean?
Nan scowled.
Well, it's sad. When a person starts to lose their mind, their health suffers too. I'm sure he wanted to make sure he didn't leave Mary with nothing, Dottie said.
Lexi exchanged a look with Nance. Are you saying that Howard Archer is ill?
Dottie nodded.
Early stages of dementia, I think.
How do you know that?
Helen asked.
Well, by the way he was acting.
Dottie looked at them as if they should all know.
I mean, it was quite obvious.
Lexi glanced at the others. From the blank looks on their faces, she knew it was not obvious to any of them.
Could you be more specific? Nance asked. What made it obvious?
He did strange things. Like the night of the party, right before Lexi's announcement?
Dottie shook her head.
I saw Howard, as plain as day, rummaging around in the coat closet at the community center.
That's hardly reason to think someone's losing their mind, Ida said.
No, but it is odd.
Dottie lifted her chin.
It's 80 degrees outside and the middle of summer. Nobody's wearing coats.